Let's open up to Psalms. Psalms 70. Psalm 70. We finished 2 Samuel last time, decided not to start just a couple of verses of Psalms and get no further. Psalms 70. Starting in verse 1, we broke off from Psalm 69 some months back before going into 1 Samuel and then 2 Samuel. So we're picking back up where we left off. All right, it starts out like this. Now, you know that David's Psalms are interesting. I don't think anybody teaches Psalms like a dispensationalist teaches them. We've talked about before how, you know, the Scriptures have a historic lessons. They have prophetic or doctrinal lessons, and then they have devotional lessons. Most usually, all that's taught in Psalms is devotional. Okay, but we'll see some of all of it here tonight, and as we go forward. Anyway, verse 1, David, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, Lord. Okay, everybody's in a hurry, and Bible says that we're supposed to wait on the Lord, right? But everybody wants the Lord to hurry. Okay? Now the fact is, one thing to remember along this line, you may pray for long months, and you may pray for long years, and you may fast for a long time before the Lord appears to answer your prayers. There's just something to remember along those lines. Let me just confirm something with you. Again, I'm aware that there are relatively new Christians here, so if those of you that are old hats at this, just bear with me. 2 Peter chapter 3 real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let me just give you a perspective, because there are folks that have troubles for large fractions of their lives. And apparently, you know, it seems like the Lord doesn't answer. Sometimes the Lord's answer could be no, right? And just deny to do what you want Him to do. That could be one case. But also just the length of time it takes, for the Lord to get around to us. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. So there's one thing not to be ignorant of. You shouldn't be ignorant of this. Now, there's probably more than one. But don't be ignorant of this, right? Verse 8, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, that changes your perspective, or should. I'll illustrate in a second. One of the Lord's days is as 1,000 years to us. Now, what that verifies is some things out of Hebrews that shows that the 4,000 years of the Old Testament, that to that we add roughly 2,000 years of church history, then the 7,000 years is the seventh day, the day of the Lord's rest, right? So there's a millennium that's coming just a few years ahead of us. We don't know exactly how many, but that's the Lord's seventh day rest. That's connected with the millennium. It's connected with Jesus Christ reigning, okay? That's a real super solid connection out of Hebrews chapter 4. So this is sound doctrine to say that man's history on earth up until after the millennium will be a 7,000-year history. 4,000 years of the Old Testament, 1,000 years of Christ reigning on earth with 2,000 years sandwiched before that time. We know it's sandwiched because things end. Time is no more at some point after the millennium, right? So you're living what you're viewing here as the Lord lays things out, and that just reminds us how close we are to the rapture. You're not going to have to wait much longer. There aren't multiple generations left that are going to go through more of this pain in this life. There aren't that many more generations left. I don't know if everybody here is going to grow up and die before the Lord comes back. Okay? I don't know if I'm going to die before the Lord comes back. But it's coming soon. Now, you say, well, it's been a long time, Brother Stevens. Yeah, well, let me illustrate. Okay, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. So one of the Lord's days is as 1,000 of our years. Okay? Well, if that's the case, since there are 24 hours in a day, one of the Lord's hours, one of the Lord's hours is equal to 41.6 of our years. So if you prayed for half your life before getting an answer to prayer, the Lord would have answered you within the hour. Now, I don't know about your dad, but just because I asked Dad for something didn't mean he was going to jump up and get it done within an hour, even if he was going to grant it to me. But you break it down, you divide 1,000 years, since one day with the Lord's 1,000 years, well, you divide 1,000 by a 24-hour day, that's 41.6 years. So you could go through statistically half your life, and if the Lord only answered one prayer, He would have answered it within an hour, His time. See? So divide it further. How many minutes in an hour? Well, that was encouraging. 60. Okay, so how does that break down? Okay, 60. So that means that 1 minute with the Lord is 0.69 years. Okay, that's roughly speaking 8 months. So if you started praying back in August about something, August of 2023, if the Lord answers you by April of 2024, He would have jumped on your request and delivered it in 1 minute. His time. Now your time, it's 8 months. But His time, He took care of it within the minute. Okay? So, when the Bible says wait on the Lord, you're not waiting that long. It's just long to you. So one more step, right? That means that 1 second with the Lord is 0.012 years. Now, I know that doesn't help you out much. But if you figure that out, that is 4.3 days. So if you prayed earlier this week and 4 days later you had an answer to prayer, could I just ask you how many times that's happened? Really? I mean, you pray about a bill, you pray about a paycheck, you pray about a job, you pray about a this, you pray about a that, and the Lord delivers within a week, within 4 days. Okay? If the Lord answered you within 4 or 5 of your days, He jumped on it within a second of His time. Again, I don't know how your dad did things. But when I requested something, Dad didn't just jump up and go run to make sure and deliver it within a second. Or a minute, or even an hour. But if you wait 4 or 5 days for an answered prayer, and who hasn't had prayer answered in 4 or 5 days? The Lord was on it in one of His seconds. It's a matter of perspective, right? And one day you're going to be fully eternal just like Him. And so time will be like that with you too. So anyway, I just thought, you know, make haste. Well, everybody wants God to hurry. Well, the truth is He does. So often He does. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, Lord. Okay, make haste, O God, to deliver me. And He does that. Let me remind you that He hath, those of us that are saved, He hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, right? The moment you called on Jesus Christ, He delivered you. Okay? So He hurried. He was more in a hurry for that than you were. Right? But let me show you something else that He delivers you on. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And again, you know, the psalmist, historically, David is talking about deliverance from an enemy. That enemy means something to us in ways that probably didn't to him. We think about the devil and so on and so forth. And so these are ways that we've been delivered. And boy, did the Lord make haste, usually. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. We're called to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You have been delivered. If you're saved, you have been delivered from the wrath to come. You're not going through the tribulation. You're not going to hell. You've been delivered from the wrath to come. Don't know how bad it's going to get down here before it gets better, before the trumpet blows, but you're not going through the wrath of God. You've been delivered from that. Look at another along that line. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Sometimes it's easy to lose track of what the Lord has delivered us from and really how quickly He did it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And once again, we'll look at verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Where it says, "Who delivered us from so great a death." Notice verse 9. "We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death." Boy, was the death we were going to die great. You were going to die twice. You're going to die once and go to hell, and then die again and suffer in a lake of fire forever. Two deaths. Just like you need two births, right? Well, he said, verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." And He is. Let me take you back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, there is yet another deliverance that we need to be delivered in. Romans chapter 8. And notice down in verse 21, "In all these things we learn that what the Lord delivered us from is doctrinally different than what David was praying about." He was just historically praying about being delivered from an enemy. For us, we've been delivered from a lake of fire, from the devil, from the wrath of God, from Romans 8 and verse 21. "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God." You know, you're watching a couple people right now, one old man and one young man, who are, you know, bound in this body of corruption. And word seems to be that sooner than later, who knows how long, they'll be delivered. In the end, you know, maybe it gets down to it where in the end most of us will be glad. You'll be glad after anyway. But it says, "He shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption." You ever think about that? You think about just what it means to be, you know, being inseparable, really, from this sewage system that you live in. And yes, there are other wonders, yeah, the brain and the hormone system and all that stuff, but it's also a sewer system. And you just can't get away from stinking. You just can't get away from the uncleanness. You just have to fight it off every day, right? Amen. What's wrong with you? Yes, yes. It's the bondage of corruption. We are corrupt. And so one day we get delivered from that. Now, there's one other thing to be delivered from, and you need to pray about this, because sure is good to be delivered from the power of darkness. Sure is good to be delivered from the power of the devil. Sure is good to be delivered from, we know one day, from the bondage of corruption, right? It's good to be saved. Well, in the meantime, what the battle's about, at least in part, notice 2 Thessalonians, if I would get in the right book, it'd help. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, chapter 3, rather. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And notice verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, that ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. It'd be a good thing for you to be delivered from folks trying to mess you up, folks trying to trap you, right? And that's what he's talking about here. He says, "Oh, haste, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, Lord," because somebody's trying to trap him. We'll see that in a second. In fact, let me just show you now, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. The average Christian that spends his time surfing the internet thinking that every Bible teacher has something of value is grossly misrepresenting the situation in his own mind. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sure glad for folks that have been delivered to the truth by whatever means. Amen? But it's still nothing to play with because there's a danger. And we're so now accustomed to having a whole bevy, a shelf full of teachers to teach us. And so if I miss Bible study tonight, it's just not a big deal. I'll just go listen to Brother So-and-so. And some Brother So-and-sos are great to listen to. That's fine. It's like there are a bunch of good books in the library, but there's some nasty stuff too. And you got to be careful because we just tend, because something about sitting down to read a book takes more effort. But boy, clickbait makes it easy. And surfing, just board the internet and just do the surf. There's so much there that's just garbage. Look in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. See that? Men are crafty. Men are sly. Men try to trap you. And cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait. They're in ambush to deceive. There are people that live to mess other people up. Not to call him out because he's not here, but communicated with Brother Russell for all those months in prison. He was going to come here, and he did come here. And Daniel and Cole picked him up and brought him to church. And great guy, good attitude, right? I was marveling at his attitude. It still didn't keep him from being susceptible to black Israelites. Now, brethren, there are some stupid heretics in this world. But the stupidest may well be black Israelites. If you don't know the difference between a Shemite, a Hamite, and a Japhethite, I'm sorry. And if you think the Jews were black, I'm sorry. And he got suckered in by that thing, and that's what he went off to. So, again, not to call him out, but we can all be pretty stupid sometimes. And you just start listening and just get led a little ways. And if you're not careful, you start the slide. You shouldn't, self-serving. You shouldn't come to depend. It's unfortunate that there are people that have to depend on spiritual food coming from somewhere than from their local church. But you shouldn't do that. I don't think it's wrong for you to go listen to another preacher preach, because I do. But where you become dependent and start, preferring that, and that becomes your main source, that's not right. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth in 1 Timothy 3:15. And it's a church that just elected deacons. So it's local. There are a lot of people that don't have a local to go to. But you do. And there are other folks that are out of church in other places that have a place to go, and they won't. And that never winds up good. It never does. Let me just show you one more verse along this line. Romans 16. I know you know these verses. But those men lay in wait to deceive. It was an ambush. J.W.'s Islamites, black Muslims, black Israelites, all those wacky, the Moonies and the JWs, they're heretics. The Charismatics, I'm sorry, they're heretics. They lie in wait to deceive. They just want, more than anything else, to get their hands on you and mess you up. They just do. So don't be a sucker. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. And go on down to verse 17. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. Now, don't just read that as doctrine that you've learned from a guy. Who taught you? Who taught you? The Lord taught you. Have you not seen the Bible rightly divided enough where this makes sense? Well, I can't do that. The Lord showed you that. Okay? I mean, He can use me or somebody else, but it's the Lord that taught you that. So this, don't just read this, well, somebody disagrees with my teacher. No. This is you having been taught by the Lord. You should take it as from the hand of the Lord that you can rightly divide the word of truth. That you've been exposed to what you've been exposed to. That's why the insistence all the time, don't come in here without a Bible. Right? People that come without a Bible here, they don't last very long. Because it's Bible, Bible, Bible. Because I don't want you believing me. I need you in the book, right? Okay. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. You are supposed to mark somebody that teaches different. I mean, I know there's a level. I know that there's a level of give to it. I know that it's not. I know that none of us probably agree 100% on everything. But there should be a high degree of agreement. And where folks start departing from major doctrines and start doing major changes, there's danger in that. Mark them which cause divisions. Mark them. In your mind, put a mark on them and say, I may need to stay away from that guy. They cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned and avoid them. Really want you to get away from them, right? For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words, and boy, don't they speak good words today, and fair speeches, and boy, isn't their speech fair. Aren't they so positive and diverse and tolerant and non-offensive? Not like you at all, Brother Stevens. Verse 18, by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Or you preached about that simple man sometime pretty recently in the past, but so many people are just going into the internet and just slurping up stuff. And they're not equipped. It's too bad, right? I know a lot of people survive without a sound local church. I get it. But that's not you. That's not the people that have been here. And it's not pointing the finger at me. It's the Lord that's done this. Y'all have seen enough to know it's the Lord that does this and honors this, right? Okay, back to Psalms 70. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me. Boy, He does that, doesn't He? He should. I mean, He doesn't take Him long. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Make haste to help me, O Lord, it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, I should probably get the beginning of the statement, verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor. You know what the succor is? It's to help. He's able to succor them that are tempted. When you're tempted, Christ is your succorer. He's your helper. So hurry, help me. He's right there. He'll answer within a second. One more on that. Chapter 4, verse 16. 4, verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. So you get help. You get help through grace. Grace gets you through what you couldn't get through by yourself. Grace to help in time of need. So make haste, O God, Psalm 70, verse 1, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Not too many are too concerned these days about soul hunters. We've been talking about those that lie in ambush. They want your soul. If they can get it, they want your soul. If they can't get your soul, they'll take your mind and your heart and keep you messed up so that you never amount to anything. You can't amount to anything without the right kind of mind. The book that the Lord gave us is the mind of Christ. Your mind is supposed to reflect that mind. If there's anything that people are careless about today, it's what they put in their mind. Okay, we have to stop tonight. I didn't get very far, did I? But, oh well. let's sing one.